Okay, so we're going to start at the bottom of Samach Amud Aleph, at the where it says Tanur Rabbanan, about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. The Tanur Rabbanan Hanichnas LeBeis HaMerchatz. If a person, you know, if a person goes into again Samach Amud Aleph, the name will show you. Tanur Rabbanan Hanichnas LeBeis HaMerchatz. The person goes into the bathhouse. So Omer Yehi, he should say before he goes in, Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Hashem Elokai Shetatzileni Mizeh, save me from this danger. And other types of similar situations that are dangerous. We'll see in a minute why it's so dangerous to go into the bathhouse. In those days, this is not so applicable nowadays. And make sure nothing ruinous or of sin happens to me. Okay, that's what he's asking Hashem. And it continues. And he davens. If something horrible happens to me, meaning he gets hurt, he gets killed. So tehei mitasi kapar l'chalav anosai. Then samach amadal, yeah, amadal from the bottom. Yeah,
Tanur Bani.
Yeah, hanichla. Yeah, we just yeah.
Obviously, there is a potential bad.
There's a potential bad things to happen. So if something happens, you know what he says? Tehei mitasi. Kapara l'chalav anosai. If I die, so let at least be a kapara for all
no,
of my sins.
No, if I die, if I fail.
No. E arab di davar kakala v'avon, and therefore, what's the kakala?
If I do something bad.
No, kakala is if something bad happens to me because he's in a dangerous situation. If the danger befalls him, if the danger occurs to him, and therefore he gets hurt, he's going into a dangerous situation. And if he gets hurt by that danger, if he gets damaged, if he gets killed, Rahman Aslan, in that situation.
Okay.
Saying that my death, let be a problem for all my sins. Let be a kapara. We'll see what's so dangerous about this situation. We'll see why in a minute, Rami. We'll see why is it dangerous to go to the bathhouse. So Amar Abaye says, Lo lema inish hachi. A person, your grandmother would agree with Abaye. You'll see why. And Abaye says, a person should not say this type of a thing. He should open his mouth to the satan. Because what's he saying? He's saying, I'm going to a dangerous situation. I hope nothing goes bad. And if something goes bad, well, then I hope that my death should be a kapara. No. That's something that he shouldn't say. Why? The Amar Rish Lakish said, you also have the similar teaching in the name of Rav Yossi. Le'olam al yiftach adam piv l'satan. A person should not open up his mouth to the satan to say something.
Yeah.
Not that might not be you don't want something to happen, so don't talk about it. Right? Don't talk about it.
What do you say? It's a prophecy that fulfills itself.
Yeah. Don't. So therefore, don't say something. Do you have a plate? Yeah.
Don't tell the devil.
Yeah. Don't tempt the devil. Don't tempt
the devil.
Yeah. That's a little different. Okay. Anyhow, so the Gemara continues. Amar of Yosef. Yosef says, "My Kra'a, what is the source of this?" So Dechsev it says, "Kima'at." Kima'at, if Hashem, you know, had left us for a small amount, Kima'at, he left us with a small amount, Kisedom hayinu, we will be like Sedom. La Amora diminu, we will be analogous, we'll be similar to Amora, Sedom and Amora. So what's it now, meaning the Nei Yisrael is comparing themselves and saying like, well, if Hashem would leave us like a little, we would be like Sedom and Amora. So guess what, the response of the Navi is, in Yeshaya, Maya Hadr Luhu Navi, what does the Navi respond to Bnei Yisrael by saying, because Bnei Yisrael said about themselves that we would be like Sodom and Amorah, so he says, Shemu Devar Hashem, Kitzine Sodom. He says, listen to the word of Hashem, you who are the chiefs, the leaders of Sodom. Because they refer to themselves as Sodom, the Navi responds as if you are from Sodom. Meaning, don't say that which you don't want to have happen. So Kinafik, my Omer, when you come out of the bathhouse, what should you say? When you come out of the dangerous situation, what should you say? So Amar Rav Acha says, you should say the following. Modeh ani lefanecha. Right? I praise you, Hashem. I thank you, Hashem. Hashem Elokai shehitzaltani min haor. That you saved me from this fire, from this dangerous situation. That's what it refers to. And that's why, that's what you're saying to Hashem after you leave the danger. Rabbi Avahu. Okay, now we're going to see from the story of Rabbi Avo what can happen. What is the reason why it was so dangerous to go into the bathhouse? So Rabbi Avo al lebei bane, he went into this bathhouse, ifchis bei bane mitusei, and the floor of the bathhouse gave out from below him, beneath him. Rashi explains that the way in which they had this bathhouse, the way in which I guess their antiquated plumbing, was all the stuff was running down. They would dig a big, huge pit, and they would put planks and boards on top. And then they would go on top of these planks and boards, and then the water would run through. So therefore, you can, if the plank or board would break, it was just a big pit underneath them, and it could fall down a substantial distance and get hurt. So that's exactly what happened to Rabbi Avahu. But Itrachish Le'Nisa, a miracle occurred to him. Kam Alamuda, and he, as he fell, instead of falling down, one of the pillars that was holding up the floor held up Rabbi Avahu. So he was suspended by the pillar and saved. And, of course, he wasn't the only one in the bathhouse. And as he was holding on to this pillar that was holding up the floor, Shaziv Mea B'chad Gavre, B'chad Evre. With one hand, he was holding up 101 other individuals, meaning each person was holding like a chain. Each person was holding on to the person on top of him, and they all were being held up by Rabbi Avahu. Okay, now you could take this literally and say that Rabbi Avahu was very strong, or you can say this means allegorically that the zechus of Rabbi Avahu saved all these individuals who, I guess, also did not get so seriously injured through the miracle that occurred because Rabbi Avahu was there. Almost like they say, you know, if you're flying with a tremendous tzaddik, okay, nothing's going to happen to the plane because in the zechus, maybe the guy in seat 27F is a pretty big Russia, but the guy in the other row is a big tzaddik, so the tzaddik is going to save everyone on the plane, even if they weren't deserving of the nes to save them. Everyone was, through Rabbi Avahu, merited to be saved. Okay. The Amar, okay, so, sorry. So that's the case that happened. Amar, Hainu Rabbi Acha, and that's why, so Rabbi Avahu said, well, that's why we follow the opinion of Rabbi Acha, and therefore when we come out of a dangerous situation, like going to the bathhouse, we should say that, you know, thank you, Hashem, for taking us and saving us from this fire, from this dangerous situation. So Amar Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Acha says follows, Nichnas lahakiz dam. If a person goes ahead to have his blood let, okay, some kind of medical procedure, Omer, Yihirasa mefanecha Hashem Elokai, Shehesek esek zeli lerefuah. That this bloodletting procedure, I mean the medical procedure that is ongoing with me, should be for healing. V'tirpaini, and Hashem, please heal me through it. Kikel rofe ne'eman ata, because you are a healer who can be trusted upon. V'rufuatcha emes, and your healing is truthful. L'fi she'ein darkan shel b'nei adam l'rafos el shenahagu. What does that mean? It means that really, a person, if they get sick, who should they turn to for their salvation? Hashem. But this guy is doing a bloodletting procedure. He's having a surgery. He's taking antibiotics. Meaning that Nahagu, the world has accustomed ourselves, with the tradition, the way of man is to seek out a doctor for when they get sick. And not only to turn to Hashem. We should also turn to Hashem. But we're asking Hashem, like, basically, excuse the fact that we're not only relying on you to heal us, but that we are accustomed to doing so. But you see from Rav Acha that there's a real hesitation to seeking out the doctor. Really, you should be only seeking Hashem when a person is sick, rather than seeing a doctor. The implication is that the right way to do it, the best approach would be only to Hashem. Abaye disagrees. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Lo lema imeshachi. A person should not say this. Should not say this, that he is apologizing to Hashem, because we have the following, Ditani Debe Rabbi Yishmael. We have a brice that taught in the name of the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael. Virapo Yirape. It says in the pasuk, when two people are fighting, and one person hurts and damages the other, so he has to pay. He has to pay for the person to go to the doctor and get healed. And the pasuk says, Virapo Yirape. He will surely be healed. Now the question is, why does the pasuk say twice? It should just say, Virapo, and he should be healed. Why does it say v'rapo yirape? A double extra word in the Torah. So the extra word comes to teach us mikan shenitna reshus l'rofe l'rapos. That we learn from here that the doctor has permission. It is appropriate for the doctor and for a person to seek out permission. I'm sorry, to seek out his healing from a physician. That is something that is allowed.
I mean, he's Hashem's tool on earth to help him, right? So
yeah.
you
reshus l'rachman.
That Dr. Oppenheimer is going to be
right
able to help.
So there's actually there's different ways that the Rosh Hashanah understand this. So Rashi and Tosfos understand that, you know, what is the extra language of the pasuk? Because the case that the pasuk is talking about is a scenario where one person intentionally hurts another person, and therefore he has to pay for the damages that occurs, and he has to pay for the person's healing, the medical bills. You would never expect that the person who got hurt by someone else should have to turn to Hashem, you know, heal me. It's his fault that I got hurt. So the way the Rashi and Tosfos understand is that the pasuk is saying that even when a person gets sick, not from the intentional damage that is occurred by another person, but even if he's just sick from the hands of God, meaning an illness, a sickness, you don't know where you got it from, or some kind of other, God forbid, many illnesses out there, other things that are not, you can't link it to the action of a man. It's linked to the action of Hashem. It's a divine decree that a person is sick in a certain way. And the point is, of the pasuk, that even in that case, even when it's clearly the hands of Hashem that unfortunately decreed illness on this individual, that he still has the right, the appropriate right, to go seek out medical care. It doesn't have to only daven to Hashem. That's why it says Verapo. You can seek out healing when it comes from man. I mean, when the illness comes as a intention of man, but you can even seek out medical healing when it comes from the hands of God.
We call it, you have to do your shtadlut.
You have to do your shtadlut. That is true. The Ramban, though, understands that these two different levels have to do with an ideal situation and the practical world we live in. In an ideal situation, and perhaps for certain individuals, we talk about Chizkiyahu Melech, but certain individuals perhaps should only seek Hashem. Only seek Hashem for their healing. However, in an ideal world, that would be what we would do. If a person would get sick, they would only seek Hashem. But practically, in the world we live in, for the people that we are supposed to do our hishtadlut. We are supposed to seek medical attention and, of course, daven to Hashem at the same time. The other thing that they say is that there's a Moshe of Zakenim, and the Moshe of Zakenim is a sefer which explains, it's, you know, the language is double, and it's similar to, like, by the Shiloh HaKen, it says, Shalach tishalach.
Shalach tishalach.
You should definitely send away the mother. Now, what does it mean, shalach tishalach? You should definitely send away the mother. Why is it? Because it says, I feel mea pa'amim. Even if the mother bird keeps coming back, many times back to the nest. 100, even 100 times, you still have to send away the mother. So therefore, he says that the same idea is what is being expressed here in the pasuk. If the doctor, imagine you have a person who got sick. It's from the hands of God. So the doctor says, okay, I have permission to go ahead and heal the person. He tries the first line of medication, the first medical therapy, and that line of therapy fails. Maybe the doctor should say, okay, I got the message. Hashem's telling me, don't get involved. This case is my decree. Don't try and heal the person. The point is that the doctor has the right to even do the second line of therapy and a third surgery and to continue to try as many ways as possible to heal the sick person and not say, well, the first way failed. It's probably because Hashem doesn't want me to intervene. The point is, even 100 times, you have to keep intervening, keep helping the person to be healed, and not say. Yes, I did.
You did.
I did. I had the opportunity. So there's a number of different approaches in this process. Okay, let's continue. Kikai, the last line, the middle of the last line. Kikai, my Omer. So Amar Vacha, meaning when a person is, we talked about what happens, what he should do when he is sick. When a person is healed, what should he say? So Rav Acha says, Baruch Rofe Chinam. Hashem heals without the cost. Meaning the doctor is charged, but Hashem doesn't. Another way, the Gilyan Hashem, sorry, I think it's the Gra. The Gra quotes the Girsa that from the Rambam, that, and that also Baal Halachas Gadolos, that person should say, Baruch Rofe Cholim. Meaning when a person is healed, it makes more sense, right? You should say, Baruch Rofe Cholim. Hashem heals the sick, not he heals for free. There's different Girsos. There's another gear that says Baruch Rofe Chaim. That person deals with life. Okay, different ways, different things we say before. So it is customary even nowadays, not necessarily to say that I apologize to Hashem for seeking out medical attention, but it's very common for people to go ahead and say Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha She'esek Zeh Li L'Refuah. That's a very common thing that a person can say when they face a medical situation.
I don't know if the Ashkenazim do that, but the Kamanim do that on a blit.
Oh, no, we don't say that. Oh, wow. Okay. No, I did not.
Yeah.
I have to go to more Temani Bris. Okay.
I don't know,
poly temanim.
I heard it in, I know
what temanim
they do this.
Okay, the top of Samach. The person goes into the, again, the bathroom, Omer, Hishabdu, Mechubadim, Kedoshim, Mishartei Elyon. He says, you should be honored, those from Mechubadim, those are honored, those are holy, who are the servants of Hashem. Tenu Kavod Lokei Yisrael, give honor to those who are the God of Israel. Herafumi Meni, stand aside from me, I'll go into the bathroom. I do what I need to do and I come back to you. What are we referring to? We refer to, you ever know the story that when you come back Friday night from shul, there's someone, there's two people who accompany you, who, or not two people, two things who accompany you. Two malachim. Chazal say that when a person comes back Friday night from shul, there are two angels that come with him. Who are the two angels? A person always has two angels with him. His guardian angels, essentially, that's what they call it, right? So on one hand, there was one angel that is going to record all of your good things you do. Another angel is going to record all the bad things. And if you come home and the angels see that the house is beautiful, the table set, the kids are all, everyone's dressed for Shabbos, and you do a nice Shalom Aleichem, so he has to say, the angel that's the good angel says, may it be God's will that this is how it should be next week. And the other angels say, Amen. But if he sees the opposite, that the table's not set, there's fighting going on in the house, that everything's screaming wild, nothing's set properly, so the angels just say, may it be God's will, this happens again this week, and the good angel has to say, Amen. But the point is that people have two angels that we walk around and accompany them wherever they go. So when he goes into the bathroom, the angel shouldn't go with him, so he's going to say to them, in a nice way, wait for me outside, I'll be right back. I got to do things that only man has to do. Now, what's interesting, so... Abai says, lowly in the shachri. A person shouldn't say that. Vilma shavik leiv azle. If you tell them, stay over here, don't come with me, maybe they're going to leave. You don't want them to leave. If you tell the two angels, stay back, maybe they're going to leave you. So, Ella lema shamruni, guard me, azaruni, help me, samchuni, support me, hamtinuli, wait for me, achechanes, they say, so I go in and I will leave. Because this is what man has to do. Man has his own needs to attend to.
Like apologizing for...
Now, do you know anyone who does this nowadays? Before you go to the bathroom, do you say these things? So the answer is no. Even though this is quoted, this bracha, or this statement is quoted by the Rambam, it's quoted by many Rishonim. However, they explain that the Shulchan Aruch also mentions that a person can say this, but he says that is not the custom to say nowadays anymore. Why? Because for one of us nowadays to say, as if referring to the angels that are with him, please wait for me while I go inside, it would seem like Yuhara, it would seem like he's haughty. Like he's, I'm such a tzaddik, I have angels that walk around with me. I want to announce to everyone, my angels are going to stay here while I go inside to the bathroom. So it would seem nowadays, based on the level that we are on today, we're not as great as they were in the previous generations, that a person does not say this. That is the custom. The Taz says, Ki ein anu machzikim liyer shemayim shem melachim melavim otanu. We don't assume that we're such on a high level that we always have angels walking around with us. So therefore, the custom is no longer nowadays to say this particular statement.
By doing blessing on anything.
No, but this is specifically implies that I'm on such a high level, I have angels with me. I have angels walking around and following me wherever I go. That is something that would seem nowadays to smack of haughtiness. Nowadays. Okay, kinafik, when you come out of the bathroom, Omer, you should say, Baruch, we should be familiar with us.
Mm-hmm.
Baruch asher yatzar es ha'adam l'chachma, Hashem created man with wisdom. Ubarav bo nikavim nikavim, Hashem created many different openings. The chalim, cavities in man. Chalulim. Galuy v'yadu afnei kisei kivodecha, shim yifateh chamehem, o yisateh chamehem. If you should open one of these holes that are supposed to be closed, or close one that's supposed to be open. Yefshar la'amod l'fanecha, and the gra adds the girsa afilu sha'achat. So even for one moment, then the person cannot exist even for a moment. Okay, my chasim, how should you end this bracha? How should you end it?
Uh-huh.
So Rav says, rofei cholim, Hashem should heal the sick. Amar Shmuel, hashavinu Abba lekuli alma kitzire. Abba meaning that's the name of Rav. Rav was his name is Rabbi, but his actual name was Abba. Abba, that's his actual name. So Shmuel said, Abba, the person which Rav, who says we should end the bracha whenever you go to the bathroom by saying Hashem heals the sick, he's making everyone sick. We're not all sick when you go to the bathroom. Why should you say that Hashem is healing the sick? You're just going to the bathroom. That's not a sickness. So Ella, rather, Shmuel says you should say, you should end the bracha by saying Rofei Kol Basar, that Hashem heals all of flesh. It doesn't mean that you are the person sick. No. It means that Hashem just heals the flesh. Rav Sheshet Amar, a person should end the bracha by saying Masli Laso, that a wondrous thing is was done. What is a wondrous thing? What's a wondrous? So there's different opinions. I'll tell you too. Rashi here on the Amud, Rashi says Masli. What's amazing about the body? Normally, if you take a balloon, you fill it up with air, and you put a hole in it, what happens to the balloon? It deflates. You put water in the balloon, you put a hole in it, what happens? All the water comes out. We have water, we have air, all sorts of things inside of our body. Hashem put holes also in all different places, and we stay inflated. We stay with the water in us. Nothing's pouring out of us. That's an amazing thing, that Hashem put the holes and what needs to be inside of us in a way that both are able to be maintained, the openings and that which is inside. Another explanation for what it means, that a wondrous thing, Masli Laso, a wondrous thing that Hashem did, is with the Rama. The Rama quotes, and this is in Simon Vav, in the beginning of Or Chaim. He says, what's amazing is, B'mash kosher davar ruchani b'davar gashmi. Now Hashem took man, and Hashem took man is made of two elements. Man is, on one hand, a physical body, on the other hand, we have a neshama. We are spiritual beings. And Hashem took the two and was able to put the two together in a way that they are connected. Normally that would be an impossible thing. So how can you have something which is ruchani together, fixed and merged with something which is gashmi, something which is physical? And that is the wondrous thing that Hashem did when he created man. So again, Amar, that's how he says you should end the bracha. Amar Papa says, Hilkach, because we have two different opinions, two different ways to end the bracha, Nimrinu l'tavayu, let's say both of them. Let's say both of the endings. We should say, Rofei kol basar, Umasli lasos. We should say the ending of Shmuel and the ending of Rosh Hashanah, that Hashem heals all the flesh and does wondrous things. So that is how, in fact, we end the bracha, by saying both of the proposed endings, like Rav Papa. Okay, let's continue. Hanichnas lishan al mitaso. If a person goes ahead into the room to go to sleep, so what should he say? Omer. He should say Mishma Yisrael ad v'hayayim Shema. He should say Shema and v'ahafta. He should say the first paragraph of the Kriya Shema before he goes to sleep. The Omer, and furthermore, he should make a bracha, and he should say as follows, Baruch hamapil chevle shena al enai, that the bonds of sleep should go on my eyes, usenuma al asapai, and slumber should go on my eyelids, umeir lishon bas ayin, and Hashem should illuminate the pupil of the eye, yihiratum afanecha Hashem elokai, shetashkiveni l'shalom, Hashem should let me rest in peace, you should give me my portion in Torah. Which seems a little interesting that when you go to sleep, it's probably the one time of the day that you are not learning Torah. Right? And you also say, V'targileni lidei mitzvah. And I want to be accustomed to doing mitzvahs. There's the same thing. When the person is sleeping, there's no mitzvahs to doing. He's not learning Torah. Why are you asking Hashem for Torah mitzvahs when you're going to sleep? I remember that the Baal Musar say, you know, the one time of the day that you don't really have control over your thoughts and your body is really at night when you're sleeping. So therefore, before you go to sleep, prepare your mind. You know, we often think about at the end of the week, before we go to sleep, the last thing we were involved in. So end the last thoughts of your mind about Torah and about mitzvot. So when you go into sleep, your mind isn't necessarily occupied by the last web page that you looked at or the last text message that you got or whatever other things you were dealing with, but rather end your night with thinking or putting into your mind a thought of Torah, your desire to achieve your portion of Torah, your interest in being involved in mitzvot, so that when you dream at night, when your thoughts are at night, when you don't have control over your thoughts, they will follow, as we know from the earlier in the Prakim, right, that your dreams often follow what happens to you, or what you're thinking about. So that is one maybe explanation for why a person says it's at night, even though you're not actively involved in these endeavors, you are passively involved in these endeavors. V'al targilein lidei avera, don't let me be accustomed to doing sin. V'al tivieni lidei chet, and don't bring me to doing sin. V'lo lidei avon, v'lo lidei nisayon, and not towards iniquity, and not towards test, that's not going to test us. V'lo lidei bizayon, not towards embarrassment. V'yishlot bi yetzar tov, and let the good inclination control me. V'al yishlot bi yetzara, not the yetzahar shouldn't control me. V'tatzileni mi pegara, and it also save me from any damage that's bad, and from also sicknesses, evil sicknesses, and also that my dreams should not be confounding me with horrible dreams, and bad thoughts, and let my bed be complete with in front of you. And also wake me up, illuminate my eyes, so that I do not die in my sleep. Baruch Hata Hashem, right? Blessed are you, Hashem, Hameir Leolam Kulo Bichvod Hashem, illuminates the whole world in His honor. The Gemara says, Kimit Ayer. When a person wakes up, Omer, he should say, Elokai Nishama. Elokai, my God, Nishama Shansatabi, the Nishama that you put into me, Tahora, it is pure. Atayatartabi, you created in me. Atanafachtabi, you breathed it into me. You breathed life into me. Vatam Ishamra Bikirbi, and you guard it inside of me. And you eventually in the future will take it from me. And you return to me as Chias HaMesim. As long as my soul is within me, I thank you, Hashem, and the God of my forefathers, Ribon Kol Amim, the God of the whole world, Adon Kol Neshamos, the Master of all of the souls, Baruch Ata Hashem Hamachazir Neshamos Vegarim Mesim. Hashem returns one soul to a dead body, like as if at night, as almost at night, when your soul departs you, you are like a dead body, you're just lying there, but Hashem returns it and gives us back life in the morning. Kishama Kol Tarnagola. Now we're going to go through a whole bunch of brachos that a person should say in the morning when he encounters different wonders, special things that he should thank Hashem for. Kishama Kol Tarnagola, when he hears the voice of the rooster. Wait, what should he do? Lema Baruch Ashenasan Lasech Vivina. What is the sechti? The sechti means is a word for the heart. And Hashem gave a heart the ability to discern between light and day.
Now we
do it every morning. Tosos points out that even if you don't hear the rooster, you still make this bracha because it's not the rooster that we're focusing on. It's that the rooster is the first to discern, to be able to see, it's morning. So as soon as you see the morning, as long as you see that it's light outside, you can make this bracha because it's not about the rooster per se. It's about what the rooster is noticing. And as long as you are noticing the change from dark to light, that is what we're making a bracha. And Hashem is illuminating the world, and we're making that bracha, but we're focusing on the tarnagol who normally is able to, in nature, identify that wondrous thing that Hashem does.
The
okay.
The Gemara is telling us to do it in different times.
Oh, did that answer? Yes. So
we do it all in one.
Yes, correct. Even though the Gemara makes it seem like you should do each one at its and when you encounter it,
yes,
we wait until we get to shul and we say all of these brachos in together, like ratzuf.
Yes.
We bundle them together. Okay. Kipatach einei. When a person opens his eyes, he should say Baruch Bokeach Ivrim. Hashem has given light to those who are blind. So now you can see. Ki tarit the yasiv, when a person straightens up and sits up on the bed, so yilema baruch matir asurim, Hashem has freed those who are bound. Ki lavish, when a person gets dressed, lema baruch malbish arumim, Hashem has clothed those who are naked. Ki zakif, when a person stands up, lema baruch zokif kapufim, Hashem straightens those who are crooked or bent. Ki nachis la'ara, when a person stands up on the ground, now he's got his feet on the ground, he's standing up, lema baruch Rokaharat alamayim. That person has firmly made the land. He spreads the land on the water. Ki maski, when he walks, lema baruch hamechin mitzadei gaver. Blessed are you, Hashem, that you have firmed. You made a man steps firm on the ground. Ki siyem misane, when he puts on his shoes, lema baruch shen osali kol tzorchi. That Hashem has done all of my needs. Ki asar himnei, when he tightens, he puts on his belt. When he tightens his belt, lema baruch ozer Yisrael bigvura, that Hashem has ozer not with an ayin, with an ayin would be to help. Ozer with an aleph is to he girds Hashem with Bnei Yisrael with strength, with gvura. It's like he gives us a belt, he belts us, he puts a belt around us with strength. Ki meaning he girds you with strength. Ki paris todre, when you cover your head, you put a yarmulke on your head, you put a hat or something like that, any kind of cover on your head, areshe, on his head. Lema baruch oter yisal b'tifara, that Hashem has crowned us with splendor. Now, what they point out is that all of the nations of the world put hats on their head, they put something, often they, especially not nowadays, but it was always very customary for people to walk outside with a hat on their head, to put a belt on. So what is so special about what we're doing? When we put on, it makes reference to when we come to Davin, so So we make sure we have a separation between the upper part of our body, our heart, and our lower part of our body, where our erva is, where our hidden, our private parts are. And that we put a belt to separate. If we're, let's say, wearing a cloak, you want to make sure that you have a belt separating the two, so your heart does not see your private parts. In other words, that the parts of the body are separate. And the same thing, we put the same thing, a yarmulke on their head. The reason why we're, that's why we wear a belt before we daven, or they say, that's why the Hasidim wear a gartel. Correct. But even us, we're supposed to have something, either a belt or the waistband on your underwear. There's supposed to be something. You're not supposed to walk in front of Hashem just wearing, imagine if you were like a frock, like just a one gown. That's not, no separation on the inside. You're supposed to, you're not allowed to daven like that.
It doesn't say something more.
That you're not allowed, no, it does say. You're not allowed to have a separate, you have to have a belt or something that is separating your private from your heart. That's the thing you have to have. And that's not this Gemara, that's Rami, a different Gemara.
Oh.
And the same is true when you daven, you're supposed to have a yarmulke on your head. Meaning we're thanking Hashem specifically for these things which we do as we greet our master. That's the point of why we're specifically referring to the belt. And the yarmulke and the hat.
The yarmulke is what to?
Is to humble ourselves, that we know that there's something above us.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yarmulke, they say, is, what, why is it a yarmulke? What's the word? Yarmulke is a Yiddish term. Kippah is the Hebrew term. But why is it yarmulke? Because they say it's a combination of the words, Yare Malka, the one who fears the king. Yare Malka is yarmulke. That's what they. That's why. That's where the word comes from. The origin of yarmulke is Yare Malka, the one who fears, that's why we put it on their head, is to show our fear, our deference to the Almighty. Okay, let's continue. So, kimit atis v'tzitzis, when a person puts on his tzitzis, leima baruch asher k'disham mitzvosa v'tzivanu, lihit atis v'tzitzis, to wrap yourself in the tzitzis. Now, this bracha is the bracha that we make when you wear your talis gadol. If a child or someone is not going to wear the talis gadol, a child will make the bracha mitzvah tzitzis. If an adult is going to be going to shul soon after he gets up in the morning, then he should put on the talis katan, he puts on his tzitzis without a bracha, and will wait to make the bracha on his tzitzis once he comes to shul and wears the talis gadol. If, however, a person is not going to be going straight to shul, he's going to wake up, he's waking up early, he's not going to daven for a few hours, he's going to be involved in different things that day, then he should make the bracha on his tzitzis talis katan first, and then eventually make the bracha on his talis gadol. But the point is that normally we would make this bracha only once we get to shul with our talis gadol. Kimanach tefillin, when a person wears tefillin, adrai, on his arm, lema baruch asher kisham mitzvos v'tzvanu lahaniach tefillin, that you're going to wrap yourself in the tefillin, to place the tefillin on your hand. Areshe, when you put the tefillin on your head, lema baruch asher kisham mitzvos v'tzvanu al mitzvah tefillin, that you make the bracha on the mitzvah tefillin, on your shal rosh. Now, this is a big debate among the Rishonim. There's another Gemara Menachos which seems to imply that the only time you make a bracha, two brachos, of lahaniach tefillin, which is on the arm, and a mitzvah tefillin, which is on the shorosh, is only if a person speaks between the two. If he made a hesek, if he made some kind of break and spoke between putting on the shalyad and putting on the shorosh. The Gemara Menachos implies that if a person is sach, hasach, bein tefillin, if a person speaks between one and the other, then he's mevarach shtayim, makes two brachos. So it implies the person is not going to speak between, he only makes one bracha. And that is, in fact, how the Rambam paskins, and that's what the Sfaradim do. The Sfaradim only make one bracha on the tefillin. How many brachos do you make on your tefillin? Only lahaniach. Only lahaniach. If you talk, you make two brachos. The Ashkenazim, follow the opinion of Tosos, or Benatam, which is the implication of this Gemara. The implication of the Gemara we just read is that a person normally seems to make two brachos.
Yes.
The Gemara here in brachos does not seem to say, well, only as if you speak. It just simply says, one is on the shalyad, one is on the shalrosh, and there's two brachos. So there's two Gemaras. They have different implications. So the Rambam, the Rif, they follow the approach of the Gemara Menachos that you make normally only one bracha. And the Rabbeinu Tam and the Baal Hayei Tosfos and the Ashkenazim, they follow the opinion that seems to be implied by this Gemara, which is you always make two brachas on your tefillin, one on the shalyad and one on the shorosh. Because we're not sure, we do say, even Ashkenazim say, Baruch Shein Kevod Malchus Olam Va'ed, after we put on the shorosh, because again, we're not sure if maybe this is a bracha shehensricha. Yeah.
So the one, if it's one, it would be
lahaniach. Yeah, they would make the bracha. Yeah, on the the Sfaradim would make one. They their tradition is they only make one bracha on the shorosh. Ashkenazim make the bracha lahaniach tefillin on the shorosh, and then always a mitzvah tefillin on the shliad, and they say baruch shem kavod malchuto leolam vaed.
Ashkenazim, how they do it?
We always make a bracha of lahaniach tefillin on the shorosh, and a bracha of a mitzvah tefillin on the shliad. Always, even if you don't speak.
Wait. Which one did you start with? Yad, right?
We start. Oh, sorry. I'm saying it backwards. Yeah, I'm saying it backwards. I'm so sorry.
The opposite to me.
The exact opposite. I apologize. Oh. When you put on the shliad, you make the bracha. The Gemara says it clearly.
Yeah.
Sorry. The Gemara here. Yeah, I'm just mixing up. The Gemara says kimach tzon adrei. When he puts his tzon on his arm, he says la'aniach tzon. When he puts it on his head, he makes the bracha of mitzvah tzon. Sorry.
What does Ashkenazim?
If I was saying backwards, that's yeah. You're.
Yeah, yeah. What does Ashkenazim exactly do? They do both.
They do both all the time.
All the time.
All the time. And the Sfaradim is only if they or make a hefsek. Okay, let's continue. Kimashiyade, when a person washes his hands in the morning, leima baruch hashem kisham b'tzivanu al netilas sedaim. Make the bracha on netilas sedaim when you wash your hands. Kimashiyape, when you wash your face, leima baruch ma'avir chevle shena me'afapai usinuma me'afapai. The Hashem wipes the bundles of sleep from your eyes and the slumber from your eyelids when you wash your face. He ratzim afanecha. May be your will, Hashem Elokai, my God. Let me be accustomed to your Torah. Vidafkeni b'mitzvosecha. Let me be attached to your mitzvos. Don't bring me to do sin. Not to any iniquity. Not to any tests. Not to any embarrassments. And force my yeter to serve you. And distance me from an evil person. Umichavira, from an evil friend. And make me close to your Yetzer Tov and to a good friend in your world. And give me this day, and every day of my life. With chesed, with rachamim, with kindness. Mean have me in your eyes, in a good light. And all those who see me, in a good light, v'tigmaleni chasidim tovim, and also give me decrees that are going to be of good chesed. Meaning Hashem treat me with chesed, and give me good things. Baruch Atah Hashem gomel chasidim tovim la'moed shal Hashem does kindness with all the people of Israel. Okay.
We
say this every morning. Yes, 100%. This is where this is the source of these brachos. Okay, let's continue. Chayiv adam levarach. Okay, we said that a person has to say a bracha on good things, and a person has to say a bracha on when bad things happen. So my chayiv levarach. What does it mean that a person is chayiv levarach even al hara'a? Kishem shevarach al tova. We had said in the Mishnah that a person has to make a bracha on things which are, meaning he's obligated to make a bracha on something which is a calamity. In the same way, in the same manner in which he makes a bracha on a good, on a positive, on a simcha, on a good thing. How is that? So, il malik kishem shevarach al tova, if you want to say, you make the exact same bracha. I mean, kishem means the same bracha. So, the same way you make al tova, hatov v'hametiv, kach nevarach hara atov v'hametiv, does that mean that you have to make it also atov v'hametiv when something bad happens? That can't be. V'hatnan, we learn in the Mishnah. Al besuros tovos, on good news, on good tidings, omer hatov v'hametiv, you say, you know, good, and Hashem continues to do good things. Ahabisuros Raos, on bad tidings, when you hear bad news, Omer, Baruch, Dayan, Ha'emes. So you don't say, that's what you say when you hear when someone passes away. So you don't say the same bracha. So what does it mean that you should make the bracha in the same way? So Amarava, Le'nitzachel, Le'kablin, Hu B'simcha. What it means is that you should accept and make the bracha in the same full heartedness, meaning with a full heart. You should really mean it when you say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. It's not easy, but you should say it with the same seriousness and acceptance as when you say Hatov HaMetiv. Amar of Acha Mishum Ravi Levi. Ma'ikra, what's the pasuk that tells us that this is how you should do it, you should act? Because it says, Chesed Mishpat Ashir Lecha Hashem. I'm going to sing to you when there's Chesed Mishpat. Azamera. I'm going to sing a song to you. Im Chesed, if Hashem does Chesed to me, Ashira, I will sing. The mishpat, Hashem treats me with a harsh judgment, also ashira, both, in both times. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni says, Amar mehachas, from this pasuk, Bahashem ahalal davar, Elokim ahalal davar. With God, with Hashem, with the name of Hashem, I'm going to give praise. With the name of Elokim, I'm going to give praise. What does that mean? Bahashem, Hashem is the name of Hashem, which is merciful. Ahalal davar, I'm going to sing a praise. Midatova, that's when Hashem does good things. Elokim, the name of Hashem, which is Elokim, often denotes Hashem's more strict judgment. And that is also Ahalal davar. Mida paranios, when Hashem often gives, when Hashem decrees calamity. Rabbi Tanchum Omer, Rabbi Tanchum says, another source, Miacha, Kosh Yeshua Sasa, V'Shem Hashem Akram, I'm going to raise up the coast of Yeshua, of salvation, and I'm going to sing to Hashem. Tzara V'Yagon Emsa, V'Shem Hashem Akram. But even when there's a Tzara, and there's the Yagon, there's a tragedy, also I'm going to call to Hashem. Rabban Amri, Miacha, they say the source is from here. Hashem Nasan, Hashem Lakach, sometimes Hashem gives, sometimes Hashem takes. Yihi Shem Hashem Mivarach, but nonetheless, may God's name be blessed. Amarav Huna, Amara Rav, Mishum Rav Meir, V'chein Tam Ishmeid Rav Yekiva, La'olam Yehadam Ragi Lomar Kol, the Avdi Rahman Atav Avid. Hashem should always say, whatever he does, it's for the best, it's for good. Kihad Rav Yekiva, this is a story which is well known, this is like a key story. Rav Yekiva says, he was once on the way. Ka'azabur Chamata La'imata. He got to this destination, he got to a certain city. Ba'ish Biza, he went to look for a place to stay. He went to the local inn to find out if there was a room available. Lo yahivlei, but he did not give him any room. There was no place for Rabbi Akiva to stay in town. Amar, he said, called Avrahman Atav, okay, it's for the best. He had nowhere to sleep. You know what he did? Azal ubas bedabra. He went to sleep in the field. Vahavi bade, and Rabbi Akiva had with him Tarnagola, the Chamra Vishumra. He had with him a rooster, a donkey, and Shraga, and a candle, a flame. Atazika, Tavilashaga. His wind came, blew out his candle. So now he's in the pitch black. Atashumra, cat came, Achalatan Nagola, ate his rooster. Ata Arye, a lion came, Achalil Chamra, eats his donkey. Now he's by himself in the pitch black, he has nothing with him. Amr called Avrach Malakav, he's Hashi, Rikim again says, everything is for the best. Bebelayla, in the same, very same night, Ata Gayasa, a band of, army, Shavi Lamata, it went and captured and besieged the city, and captured the city he was going to stay in. Amar Luhu, Lav Army Luhu, and therefore, through this, he was saved. Because not only did they not capture him in the city, they didn't even see him on the outskirts of the city, because he was without a candle, no tarnagol, no donkey braying in the middle of the night, so he was saved. Crowing in the morning, so he was completely, hidden. He was hidden from their sight, literally, and from their ears. So he said, Lav Army Luchu, Kamaz Shalitza Kosh Baruch Hu, is Hakol L'Tova. Everything Hashem does is for the best. Okay, we'll stop over here. Shkech.